Tonight, all the songs, prayers, and scripture readings have been more or less based on the topic of trust. So I want to start this off real quick, just by thanking everyone for letting me do this. Somehow I'm let back up on the stage. thank the elders for letting me do this. So I was talking with one of my friends a little while ago, a couple weeks, and I was talking about how God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, in 7 days. And he told me, "No way." And I said, "Yahweh." No, I'm just kidding. On Wednesday night, Larry was talking about how Yahweh meant, now correct me if I'm wrong, I will be, I was, and I am, correct? Yeah, and I just thought that was really cool, and I thought I'd base my lesson off that. And so I want to start by talking about, does everybody know what a trust fall is in here? A trust fall, yeah. Well, a trust fall, if you don't know, is when you come over here, cross your arms, and you fall backwards with somebody behind you hoping that they will catch you. And depending on what kind of person that person is, they will either catch you or let you fall. And so I encourage you to go on YouTube and look at some of those. It's pretty funny. But can you really trust people? I mean, would you really go let somebody catch you if you fell? And I think that, personally, I would never do that. I would never trust anybody to try to catch me. That would just be crazy. So I looked up a definition of trust on the internet, and it said, it's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And I don't really trust humans that much. but it's really cool because we can trust God that much. And I'm going to be going through my lesson, my quick lesson on why I think we can trust God that much. So it's just a reliance in someone or something else. I will base this off of 3 points, which are what Yahweh means. So what God has done, what he's doing for us now, and what he will do for us. So I want to start off by, he made a plan for us from the beginning. So if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Now this is Abram and God telling him what to do. This is before the name change. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I think that's really cool, and that's just one of the many promises that God has made to some people in the Bible. And we'll just continue to build off of that. I find it funny, the saying, man makes plans and God laughs. And that's really it, because man makes plans and we have no way of knowing if we'll be able to follow through with that. It doesn't depend on who you are. Just depends on if you're man or God. So now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Now this is talking about, my title for this section is The Cure for Anxiety. "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to do what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather them into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think that's a really cool verse. Also, just because it talks about how we don't need to worry about tomorrow, or the day after that, or the day after that. We just need to worry about striving for heaven and striving to please our Heavenly Father. He also gives us His Word. He also gives us the Bible and the examples that come in that. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings of all, because He gives us the ability to look through His doctrine and look through the examples He's given us in here, so that we can figure out how to lead a Christian life in a way that would be pleasing to Him. And I think that's just really cool. Now what God has done, just to wrap that part up, He also gave His Son. He gave Him to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have hope of eternal life with Him. And I think that's even greater than His doctrine. Is that we would have no hope of eternal life without Him. Now what He's doing, I'd like to turn over to Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So again, that's just saying that we should give all of our worries to God, and that we should not worry about what's going to happen today, tomorrow, or the next day, but worry about Him and how we can further grow our relationship together. Now for what God is doing, He's guarding us and He's strengthening us. So this is one of my favorite verses. Turn to the Book of Psalms, chapter 34 and verse 19. All right, starting in 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And that verse, it talks about how we can have faith in God and we can trust Him, because He will bless us in our persecution. So even though we are persecuted, we can still take refuge in our God, and the people that are condemning us will be condemned. He also encourages us. Now there's several verses on encouraging. It took me forever to be able to choose some verses for this sermon, because there's just too many good ones. You know, it's just crazy. But turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Chapter 12, verses 9, or starting with verse 9. He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I just love how we're able to be able to take refuge within our Lord, even in this world of persecution against not just religions, but Christianity. To wrap up these 3 points, going on to what God will do, he keeps his promises. And so, going on to the Old Testament, going to the book of Joshua. Joshua, Judges Ruth. I'm not sure what she did, but... 21, verse 45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. And there's so many examples in the Bible that talk about God's promises to a group of people or a certain person that give us just examples of that. And just to name off a few, the Israelites, Abraham, or Jesus. You know, in the book of Isaiah, which we're studying on Wednesday nights, there are prophecies of Jesus, and we can then turn to the New Testament and read about his life, his death, and his example. And I just think that's amazing. And then with the Israelites, he makes so many promises to them, and even if they turn away from him and then turn back, he still fulfills promises. And with Abraham, he will make a great nation, and he did. Now, conclusion for that, he also prepares a place for us in heaven. So if you will turn with me to John chapter 14, the book of John. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, God. Believe also in me. This is, by the way, Jesus comforting his disciples. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then in conclusion, I just want to wrap this up with the idea to leave you with that God will be there no matter what. And he will always be there for when you're doing a trust fall by yourself and you need somebody to catch you. If you have troubles in your life and you need someone to turn to and you have no one, you can always turn to your Lord and your God. And that's just amazing. Now, the last verse I want to turn to is 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so God doesn't want to turn you away. He is your maker. He's your creator, your father. He doesn't want to cast you to hell. He wants to live in heaven with you forever. And so I think we should accept him as our father, and we should go rejoice with him in heaven. As a wise man once told all of us, to the work. So if you're having problems in your Christian life, if you're not feeling well about how you're living, and you want to strengthen that relationship, because the Bible tells us that sin is separation from God, and that we should always be striving to have a better connection with our Lord. And if you aren't a Christian, why? you should just come talk to one of our elders, talk to our deacons, Larry, anybody here. They'd be glad to talk with you.